This not going to take terribly long, but we are in the middle of a drench series, and I want to talk about and I want to exhort you and encourage you to get into a small group. I really do. Because looking at the back of people's heads, that's okay. Corporate worship, it's awesome. It's a wonderful time to be together like this. But I tell you, real formation will happen in your life when you're sitting in circles. Happens when you're with other people. Happens when you go to a meeting week after week where somebody annoys you. You're tempted to say, I am fed up with that group. And you know what? That's where something needs to change in you. And, you know, I love being, you know, my wife always told me that if, because sometimes I would wash one or two things. I'd say, I just need one thing. I'd throw it in the washer. And she'd say, what are you doing? I said, I just needed that. And she said, no, you got to throw a bunch of stuff in, because when you throw a bunch of stuff in, it gets cleaner. I said, how do you know that? She said, friction. So, you know, we get together in these small groups, and sometimes, you know, sometimes, most often it's wonderful. I'm not trying to scare you, because really, it's most often wonderful. Ugh. I can't wait to get annoyed every week, you know. But, you know, you get to be selfless. You get to think about somebody else. You get to leave your house or get on a Zoom call or do something and say that I want to go serve somebody else tonight. I want to get to know somebody in the family. I want to know who I can pray for, who I can encourage, and who I can bless. Amen. Let all the unselfish people say amen. I don't know what's wrong with the rest of you, but anyways. All right. So we're in the middle of a series we started a long time ago. I just wanted to, and I still do, I don't know how long we're going to do this, but I want to get drilled into our hearts, drilled into our minds that we are here to cause heaven and earth, there to be no division, no separation between what's in heaven and what's on earth. I mean, if you have in your mind, I can't wait to get to heaven, then you don't understand the purpose. The reason you were born, the reason you have an earth suit is so that you could transform the world. The reason God called you and he saved you is so that you can be functional on earth. It's on our sign out front. It says transforming lives to impact their world. It's not transforming lives to get them into heaven. It's not transforming lives so they can escape the tribulation. It's not transforming lives so that they're ready for the rapture. No, it's transforming lives so that you walk in power and authority and you can bring the kingdom of God and the influence of heaven into every sphere of your life. And that's why we're here. If church exists for any other purpose, that is not the purpose of God. The purpose of God is that you right now today bring transformation everywhere you are. So we want that intersecting realm. When that gal, she came here last week and she visited and she ran into a cloud of glory. She ran into a realm of corporate expression. She ran into a place where we practice corporately. There's no difference. They didn't have a better service in heaven than we had here. We experience the fullness. There's not more of God in heaven than there is here. It's not better up there. That is not the will of God, and that's not what he released. When God became a man and Jesus was incarnate, that said that God is concerned about the earth to a very cellular way. Not just you, not just his creation of human beings, but all of creation. God wants to restore and God wants to redeem, and he's called you to function in that. We are here to call things that are out of order, to call them into line. And we have responsibility to govern right now, to rule right now, and insist that anything that does not manifest the reign and rule of heaven, we have the authority to say, stop it. I command the kingdom of God to be enforced here. Now, that's true. You know, if we think we're just trying to, hey, you don't want to go to hell, do you? Accept Jesus. That's really not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is there's a new king and he wants to give you the right to co-reign with him. He wants to deliver you from every other thing you bowed to, and he wants to give you authority and power to be who you really are. He wants to bring into a manifestation of your true identity. He wants to bring you and recover every single thing that God created you for. The one who he knew before the foundation of the world, he wants that one to come on the scene and function in every single privilege of who you are as a son. There's a groan in all of creation. All of creation is groaning for a manifestation. You see, we don't beg the kingdom to come, we manifest it. We don't beg the glory to come, we manifest it. We're not begging God to do something. Sons manifest the kingdom. We manifest it. We don't call it into, please come. We are here. We carry it. We loose it. We release the kingdom. So we're going to spend a lot of time doing this because it takes a lot of time to break thousands of years of nonsense that's been preached to people. And there is a new reformation and there is a recovery of identity that is taking place in the body of Christ today. And it means that we have to strip away falsities. We have to strip away things that have corrupted your identity and have dumbed down your purpose for why you exist and who you are as a child of God. And not only do you need it to be seen, but the whole earth is groaning the church to become who they really are. Amen. Amen. That was just that slide. Tommy Miller said, contradiction is a petition of creation to its co-kings to release heaven into its reality and release it from frustration and futility. Your trial is a prayer, but it's not from you to God, but it is from creation to you, its Redeemer. Now, you need to meditate on that just a little bit more. I'm going to read it again. Contradiction. What's a contradiction? A contradiction is I'm a child of God and I'm sick. That's a contradiction. I'm a child of God and lack is in my life. That's a contradiction. I'm a child of God and my relationships are broken. That's a contradiction. I am a king of glory and yet I'm sad, I'm miserable, I'm depressed, and I'm an emotional nightmare. That's a contradiction. So that contradiction is a petition of creation to its co-kings to release heaven into its reality and release it from frustration and futility. Your trial, your difficulty, it's an invitation for you to reign. Your trial is an invitation for you to bring things under subjection. Your trial, that difficulty is not something that you got, Lord, please deliver me from this. It is an invitation for you to be who God called you to be in every single circumstance of your life. Not from you to God, but from creation to its Redeemer. So we've been talking about this community. So in the beginning there, we talked way back when about, you know, Genesis chapter 1. We talked about all of that. And we talked about how the earth was created. It was wonderful, beautiful. And then all of a sudden, boom, there was chaos and void. So God took the flora of heaven. God took Eden. Eden was a planting of the heavenly realm in the chaos and the void. And then he took man and made man in his own image. And man is here to be fruitful. We're not here to just hang on for dear life until he gets us out of here. We're to be fruitful, to reign. We're to take authority over things. We're supposed to call in the manifestation. It says rule over, bring into subjection, guard this from any interloper. So you have Eden is the representation of heaven, but the rest of the world under chaos, it is a blank canvas for us to take the kingdom. And God, who put it down, gave us a beautiful head start. He said, boom, now fill the earth, multiply and fill the earth with my glory. And that's what he wants to do. Now, I mean, it fell. Adam gave his right to rule. He gave the lease to the devil, went into some messy times, but then Jesus came, God incarnate came, and God became a man. One thing that an Adam and Eve could never have done because of what Jesus did, once in a while we could do it. Adam and Eve could fall. Adam and Eve could fall. Here's one thing you can't do. You can't fall. You can't fall. Here's the beautiful thing where we are on the other side of the cross. I am a child of God and I cannot sin. That's in 1 John. Look it up. Don't be blown away by it. It's true. See, sin as a condition, I've been delivered from it, completely set free of it. So I hear now, as we are being flooded with the Holy Spirit, God made a way. A man went to heaven so that a man became God. God became man so that man could become God. Little g, little g. Because we are co-regents, we are to co-reign. He went back up to heaven so that we have access to the throne room of God. We have sonship. And where are you right now? Seated at Impact Church. No, you are seated with him in heavenly places. That's the real you. That is the absolute real you. Whatever's going on in your life that is not lining up with the word of God, the revelation of God, you have the right to take authority over it and deal with it. And you know what? You now, nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. Nothing can hinder you. Nothing can take you out of his firm grip. Nothing. God made a deal with God. You didn't make a deal with God. God made a deal with God. He included you in the deal, and the deal is sealed once and for all, and you can't change it. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. You're a child of God. So what happened at Pentecost? At Pentecost, that was where there was a rebirthing. It was like a reconstitution. It was like a new Eden. It was like a new birth of a community that walked with full access and full authority to bring into manifestation the power of God. And so that's who we are. I tell you, we are absolutely in charge. We have absolute authority in the name of Jesus to deal with things in this earth. And we have been blessed. The blessing of God is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon us to bless us. It's called the Father's blessing. The Father blessed us and he said, now go be fruitful and multiply. So the Holy Spirit came on us so that now we can go. Go now into all the world. Lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. Disciple the nations. Go cast out devils. Go, and I'm going to be with you even to the end of the age. We have now been given that recommissioning, but we're recommissioned with power from on high and nothing but nothing. If God be for us, who can be against us? We are incredible. We are powerful. We are glorious. So the community was formed. The community was formed. The community moves out. The community has a message. What a beautiful message. There's a new king. Whatever you've been bowing to, whatever you've been bowing to this week, whatever has kept you down, whatever you've been bowing to, whatever it is, there's good news today. You can now yield all of that because a king has come. He's abolished every one of those strongholds, and you now can be seated with him, reigning and ruling over every circumstance of your life. And if there is a living, leaking contradiction that still exists, you need to take authority over that. You need to recognize that is calling. That is screaming at you. Take your place, King of God. Take your place, child of God. Take your place and begin to reign and to rule in every circumstance of life. Now that could take some time. It could take some time for this revelation to get in our hearts and get in our heads. But I tell you, it's time for the church to be the church. Amen. Wow. It's a big massive recap, and I didn't want to do that. So I'm going to go really fast. So the church met resistance. You know, they went out, started doing the stuff. He said, I've given you the name, gave you authority. Like, let's try this. So they, in Jesus' name, poof. I mean, every stronghold, boom, it was all delivered. Everybody came running. Whoa, I want to be like you. There are people running down your block saying, I want to be like you. That's the good news. That's the good news of the kingdom. Don't be like me. I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here. I want to be fruitful, multiply. I want to fill the earth. I want to transform my neighborhood. I want to see sickness out of this city. I want to see this whole city be a sin and sick-free zone where God's glory is manifest, where people got to leave town to sin. A community that meets resistance. They met the resistance. And what did they do? They prayed. A community prayed. They began to pray. What did they pray for? God, they didn't want to do that. So God, give us power and authority to do it more. What they don't like us doing, give us boldness to do it more. So they prayed. And then today we're going to talk about the community is one. Say one. One. The community is one. A.W. Tozer said the Christian is a holy rebel loose in the world. Access to the throne of God. Satan never knows from which direction he will come. Bill Johnson said, I'm not impressed with anyone's life unless they have integrity. Integrity means I know who I am. You see, when the angels cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, they're not talking about equality of, they're not saying, God, your behavior is good, your behavior is good, your behavior is good. That's not what they're saying. We think holiness is a product of us behaving right, therefore we're holy. Holiness is who we are. Holiness is something we've set apart to. Holiness is the quality of God, and he has made us holy and blameless in his sight. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says he has made me holy and blameless in his sight. Whose sight? Your sight? No, his sight. He looks at me, says, holy, blameless, beyond reproach. Not because of behavior, but because of holy decree, because of the Father's will. Jesus, what would happen if we really believed who we were? What would happen if we really began to behave as God has determined it in his word, he's decreed it? What would happen if we literally really did repent and lined up with the word of God about us? What would happen if that repentance happened every day? Amen. Transformation. I'm not impressed with anyone's life unless they have integrity. Integrity is holy. Integrity is I am absolutely the same. I am absolutely who I am. I am holy. There's no changing. I am holy. I am absolute. I have absolute clarity and integrity. But I'm not happy with their life unless they are dangerous. As much as I have the ability to do so, not let those around me get away with just being nice people. I went to Impact Church. They're nice people. And that's good. We want to be nice people, but we want to be people where when you walk in, it's a little bit scary, especially if you got a demon. We want the demons to tremble. I want the demonic influence in your life tremble. I want them to check out at the door before you come in because you've walked into the very wonderful, tangible presence of God. Amen. I want to get around those people who are dangerous, and I won't let you get away with just being nice. Acts 4:24. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God in one accord. So when they heard the threats, they heard those things, they prayed. So when push comes to pray. So they magnified the Lord. They reframed their threats. Listen, the nations, who gives a rip what the nations are trying to figure out or trying to do? They make their plans in vain. I don't need to be looking at what the nations are doing. I need to keep my eyes on Jesus. I need to do what he is doing. I don't care what the nations are doing. I do because I love them, but I'm not influenced by their schemes or their plans or their threats because I have a higher call, a higher reign, a higher place that I operate from. And so reframe their threats. They plot in vain, put a demand on boldness. They said, now God, grant your servants all boldness. Say all boldness. How much boldness? All boldness. How many people are bold? How many people, I'm kind of quiet, you know, I'm just kind of quiet. This isn't about temperament. This is about the zeal of the Lord. And the zeal of the Lord in the scriptures is a type of the Holy Ghost, the zeal of the Lord. He said Jesus came and he was clad with the zeal of the Lord as a garment. Wrap yourself in the zeal of God in every circumstance. So what boldness? Boldness to speak the word. Spoke the word. Boldness to healing. They released healing everywhere they went. It says all people from all places, from Delaware, Dorchester. I mean, they came from Owen Sound, glory to God. They came from all over and they were all healed. It should not be better in the first outpouring of rains than it is in the latter outpouring of rains. This should be better. If we see something, go, wow, Acts was awesome. You see, Acts was awesome. We should be more awesome. There's a cry from heaven saying, more. Please settle down. If you get stirred up, I'll preach longer. For signs and for wonders. We had a sign and wonder in the city of London in the Southwest End this week. Didn't make the newspaper, but there was a man at 4262 Masterson Circle who took the trash out for the first time. So exciting. Thought I'd let you know. All right. Listen now. The supernatural is written in our DNA. The DNA you have, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And in that new creation DNA, it is unnatural for us not to hunger for the impossible to be in constant manifestation in our lives. We've got to believe it is unnatural not to hunger that every day is unexplainable. Every day, just like they said about Jesus, what kind of man is this? He speaks to the wind and the waves and they stop. We still think, oh, Jesus, speak to the winds and waves in my life. You're still the same. So speak to my winds, speak to my waves. And he says, you speak. You speak. You speak. You speak. We have that authority. Jesus said, you can ask anything in my name and it will be done for you. Hello. Well, not anything. You have to be holy. You have to be righteous. You have to have not sinned for at least 3 or 4 hours. And then you can ask God for something. And it has to be in line with his will. Well, what's in line with his will? Is healing in line with his will? Yeah. Is prosperity in line with his will? Yeah. Is every demonic thing shattered and broken in line with his will? How many demons of worry are manifesting around the throne of God right now? I'm praising God around the throne. All of a sudden, a little demon, worry, worry, worry. Yeah, stop that. There's none of that. And if there's none of that in heaven, there's none of that here. And there's none of that in my life. And you got to take authority over you. If you got winds or waves, you got to say, peace be still in the name of Jesus. It might take us a while to just really believe this. You know what I mean? Anyone who comes to me must first believe that I am and believe that I am the one who responds to boldness and declarations of faith. What do you believe? What do you believe? Because what you believe about God and what you believe about who you are in God is shaping right now your life and how you're moving in life. is, you are not limited by God, but we are limited by the thoughts we have of God and the thoughts we have of who we are in the divine economy of his eternal purpose. Amen. 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 All right. All right. Acts 4, 31 to 37. Let's read this. Let's read this quickly. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. So when they finished praying, the whole place shook. There was like an earthquake that didn't cause any damage. There was an earthquake that left everything perfectly good. Like when the earth quaked with Paul and Silas when they were singing and praying. The earth quaked under their feet, but nobody was lost. Nobody was damaged. The only thing that was removed was the chains and the bondage that kept them. Every door was opened. Every chain was broken. Everything was gone because God showed up. God showed up today. He shows up every day because I brought him with me. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes a lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I get a glory to God? Amen. They're assembled together. The place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So listen, all the same people that got baptized in the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they got filled again. And then you read later on, it says those people got filled again. And there was another time where they got filled again. How many of you are working on a filling from 25 years ago? Anybody? How many got filled again recently? How many woke up today, got in the shower and said, Holy Ghost, drench me with authority from on high. I want fresh oil. I want something wonderful. He will anoint you with fresh oil. The multitudes, those who believed, say believed. The multitude, those who believed, were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all of their possessions and lands and houses. They sold them and brought their proceeds and things that were sold. And they laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed each one as anyone had need. Now, don't get scared about that. We're going to preach on that next week. I'll give you the title for the sermon. You ready? When the devil came to church. Oh boy, that's gonna be fun, eh? Boy. And Joseph, they named Barnabas, the son of encouragement. He brought some land. You see, many people did. There were people who came for Pentecost from other nations around the world. And the Holy Spirit fell. They didn't go home. They said, I'm not going home. What's going on here is great. I'm not leaving. I'm staying here. So there are a lot of people who needed help. They needed some. There's a whole group of people. There's thousands of people suddenly who needed help. So this was a situation where there was supernatural, extravagant generosity to help people in a specific time. Amen. How many excited? How many excited? So one, say one. One. Say one. We are one. We are not two. We are not partially in. I'm not a fragment or a fraction. I am one. I'm not halfway. I am one. I am one heart and one soul with you. Everyone who believed was one heart and one soul. Everyone who believed was one heart and one soul. Is your heart one with me like my heart is one with you? Are we one soul? Are we intentionally in a place where we are on purpose moving together as one body, expressing and manifesting God's purpose for us corporately right now? Because that's what they were. The early church is a type of how we should be right now. We should be manifesting that same oneness. Now, I'm going to skip that one. I'm going to skip that one. I'm going to go to this one. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord and I don't change. We are in a time of incredible flux, incredible transition. I got a few other quotes there to talk about the acceleration of change. I mean, one lady said in 5 years, everything's going to change. And you know when she said that? 5 years ago. So, I mean, everything is changing and everything is accelerating. Everything seems, it says one fellow, Peter Diamandis, he said that in 10 years, 35% of what you were doing, it won't even exist anymore. I mean, things are moving so fast, a future faster than you think. He said, in the next 10 years, you're going to reinvent every industry we reinvented on the planet. He said that in January 28, 2020. So we're 5 years into that 10 years. People who study sociology say we are in a time of extreme change. And some people get scared by that. I love it. I love it. Even God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Don't you perceive it? But you see, there's such incredible change. People get afraid of that. But Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord and I do not change. I do not. I feel like a donut. How many want a donut right now? I am the Lord and I do not change. Amen. I might have taken that verse out of context once or twice. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, the Father of lights, and there's no variation in him. God will never change. He is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. He is good all the time, and that will never, ever change. You can't change it. You cannot change who he is. You can't change how he feels about you. You can't do anything about it. God is good, and he's good to you. All right, so I had a chart here that shows how long it takes to get 50 million users. How long does it take to get 50 million users? So let me just, you can't see it, so let me show you what it says. It said it took 68 years for 50 million people to use an airplane. It took 60 years for 50 million people to use automobiles. It took 50 years for 50 million people to use phones. It took 14 years for 50 million people to use computers. It took 12 years for 50 million people to use mobile phones. It took 7 years for 50 million people to get on the internet. It took 3 years for 50 million people to use Facebook. It took 19 days for 50 million people to play Pokemon Go. Do you remember that? How many here right now, all eyes closed, heads bowed, how many played Pokemon Go? How many actually got involved in that? I see that hand. I see that hand. My God, that was a really weird time, wasn't it? But things are accelerating. Things are moving so quickly. I mean, things are spoken around the world. And right now, people are getting like 350,000 likes in a day. And all over the world, people are interacting with information. The three largest population groups in the world are not nations. The four largest population groups are Facebook, 3.07 billion, WhatsApp, 3 billion, YouTube, 2.4 billion, and Instagram, 2 billion. These are groups and crowds of people that are influenced together. They are bigger than any of the nations in the world. India has 1.47 billion right now, and China is right behind it with 1.4 something. So, but these population groups are bigger than any nation in the world. And these have massive influence on what's going on today. It's crazy how things are happening. It's enough to make you leap and jump. The church, this community is just under 3 billion. And this institution, this body, this living organism is growing faster than the rate of birth. It's increasing more than mankind is increasing. It's accelerating above that. And listen, the largest subgroup in the 3 billion is Pentecostal charismatics, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, fire-breathing people. That group is 900 million people, and it's growing faster than any other group. And inside of that group right now, there's a subgroup inside the Pentecostal group called Apostolic Networks, which you are a part of. Apostolic Networks are the fastest-growing movement in the earth today. And there is a shift in message. There is a shift in revelation that is coming from apostolic houses. There is a voice. There is a new cry. There's a new declaration. There's an equipping of the saints for works of power and ministry that's taking place in apostolic churches. We aren't standing waiting for God to get us out of here, but we're hearing the cry from heaven. And in apostolic houses, there is a message that is empowering every single person in the church to loose the kingdom everywhere they go. And that is the fastest growing movement in the earth today. The government of Canada, that was a nice quote. Let's skip that one. All right. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Christian community is not an ideal that we must realize, but rather reality created by God in Christ in which we must participate. Christian community is not an ideal that we must realize, but rather a reality God created in Christ in which we may participate. I hate that may, because sometimes you say, I may not. No, you need to. You need to participate in this community. John Stott said the credibility of the gospel is inseparable from the integrity of the church. Our message carries weight only when our community embodies it. John 17:21, the goal is for all of them to become one. Can you say one? Jesus is praying to his Father. He's saying, I'm finished, big guy. I did what you called me to do. Now I want you to continue my ministry through this group called the church. I want you to continue what I have begun in and through this group. And here's what Jesus said. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. I asked the Lord, whose heart and whose mind? He said, yours, Carl. I want them all to have your heart and your mind. Can I get an amen? That's rough. It's not, it's about us coming into the oneness, the one heart with Christ. It's about us having let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. It's all of us coming into the oneness of understanding and revelation today. 1 John 1:3-4, we proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard. John, who wrote that prayer from Jesus, wrote that in the gospel. He's saying, look, we saw him. He manifest to us. We touched him. We heard him. We saw his life, all that he did. And I'm telling you this because I want you to have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may have the full measure of his joy. Amen. I love that. Jesus prayed there may be one heart and one mind. And what is the quality of one heart and one mind? He says ours, the same union we have, Father, same oneness that we possess, the oneness that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost have. I want them to be brought into that oneness. I want there to be a community on earth that has our heart and our mind and walks and manifests it and distributes it everywhere they go. Say one. One. Ephesians 4:3-6, make every made thing. Hey, let's all huddle up. Come on. Let's love one another. Hey, come on. Let's all be good. This isn't something we create or try to make happen. This is in the Spirit. This is in the Spirit of God. There's a place called in the Spirit. When you get into it and I get into it, there's oneness that's created by the Spirit, supported by the Spirit, that flows from the Spirit. And when you get in the Spirit and I get in the Spirit, there's absolute oneness, the quality of which is the oneness of the Godhead itself. It's not something to try to create. If we got enough churches together in the city of London, God would come. He'd have to come because we created unity. And wherever there's unity, he commands a blessing. That's unity. That's a man-made institution. God doesn't have to bless what you create. He's already blessed the plan, and he wants you to get into it. Amen. Can anybody say, hurry up, Pastor? Philippians 1:1-2, is there any encouragement for belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Rhetorical questions. Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one another with one mind and purpose. Now, this is not a prescription. I'm not saying write this down and let's all try to do it this week. I'm not laying in front of you something that you've got to try to do. I'm laying in front of you what is already done. I'm not asking you to do something. I'm inviting you to enter in what is already ours. I'm asking you to drop selfishness and embrace Christ-likeness, which you already have in you. Don't walk in the flesh. Let the Spirit govern your life, and it's already there, and power from God is on it to bring it into manifestation. So I'm not saying, would you please change the way you are? You won't have to change the way you are. If you just yield to the Spirit of God, the real you will come into manifestation, and the real you has God's love. The real you has God's mind. The real you walks together, honors others, submits to others, places and esteems others bigger than, better than yourself. That is the real you, and that's not something you create. You couldn't do it. If you could, Jesus didn't need to come, but he did come and he baptized you with the Holy Ghost, and so you can do it. Man, I tell you, I'm almost done. Can you say almost done? Those who believe were one heart and they were one soul. Those who believe were one heart and one soul. One heart unified in affection, united in affection for Christ and his kingdom. One soul united in identity and mission. One Spirit animated and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. One last screen. Can I get an amen? The early church didn't lose individuality. They gained relational solidarity. You don't become a part of the Borg. You don't lose yourself. You'll really find yourself. You'll really find the true you. You'll be the best version of you when you give yourself to God's purpose in your life. It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do it. The way up is the way down. The way to greatness is humility and servanthood. Giving yourself to others. They gained relational solidarity. Their uniqueness was preserved, but their self-centeredness was surrendered. They became one heart and one soul, united in love and united in mission. Amen. I mean, it's a pretty poetic and cute little phrase. One heart, one soul, one heart. You know, at Impact Church, they're one heart and one soul. There's an indivisible quality among them There's a brotherhood, a sisterhood. There's a group of people that they move together as one. It's a clear manifestation of something so unique. The world could never create it, but it's a group of people submitted to and baptized and yielded to the Holy Ghost. And what do those people do? They join a small group. Why did you do all that, Pastor? So that you can right now pull that out, circle the one you're going to, and be a believer. Because the believers were one heart and one soul. That's not calling you to try to do something you can't do. That's a call to you to release in you what God has deposited, and that selfishness broken in your life, and where you can esteem others better than yourself. And when the world walks into a community, I know they are Christians by their love for one another. So I'll take a few minutes. We'll pass out some pens. The doors are locked. You cannot leave until you hand in one of these sheets. We have some great groups. We got a mindfulness group, which is fantastic. You should take it. It's going to really bless you. There's another group where it says, I think it says disciplines or personal something. But what it is we have a lawyer in the church here who is going to come and share with you some legal issues. They're going to talk to you about wills, talk to you about things, and they're going to give you free advice that you may need to know. There's people in this house who are believers, who own properties, sell properties, buy properties. They're trained, over 50 years experience in buying, selling properties, helping people in real estate. They are here to answer questions for you. And if you think you can't buy a house, they're going to tell you, yes, you can. We got people here that are financial planners that help people with wealth management and how to grow wealth and how to do things. They're going to stand up, believers, people who are brothers and sisters with you. They're going to be there, and you can ask them questions and you can say, I'd like to change my finances. I've never understood the stock market. I've never stood this. How can I grow wealth? They're going to talk to you about how to grow wealth. We got people who are health specialists here, and you need to find out how to lose a few pounds. Say you first, Pastor. Bit of zeal there. We got people who are entrepreneurs, people who are running small businesses, people have fearlessness in the realm of small businesses. And you could ask them, how could I do that? How did you do that? And they're going to talk to you about what it is to be an entrepreneur. And there are things that are going to happen where you're going to have a small group where people in this house that are incredible professionals, quality people, people have worked out these things in the spirit, and they're going to share with you things that will change your life. That one session cost $10,000 for the 10-week period. It should cost that. In fact, that would be a deal, but you get it for free. We're trying to break this down to some real practical areas where if you're going to reign and rule as a king, we're going to put handles on some things where you can actually open doors and you can start to manifest a reign and a rule in these affairs of your life. Amen. Amen. You know, we want to have a small group in St. Thomas. How many of you people come from St. Thomas? Come on, stand up if you're from St. Thomas. Well, raise your hand if you're from St. Thomas. I mean, stare at me quietly if you're from St. Thomas. Now, Davina is right there. Wave your hands, Davina. Wave your hands up in the air like you don't care. Woo, woo. Davina. Davina's opened her house, and she's going to have a small group in St. Thomas. If you feel like driving in here is too hard, I got five people already want to do that. I know I got some people that are going to drive in from St. Thomas anyways because things here that they want to take. But we would love to have a group in St. Thomas. If you're from St. Thomas, then that would be great. Please let us know because we'll plug you in. Davina would love to host you, and Davina has the very, very best shortbread cookies, and you'll be very blessed if you go there. But we want to get all of you in relationships here in the church. We want you to unpack your gifts, your callings, your ability, and we want you to plug into groups. Now, next time, they're only about 10 weeks long, these groups, then we do them again. So if you really hated it, you can move to another one. You're not stuck with the same group of people all the time in case your group was really annoying. All right. But if you've got a group you'd love to do, or you've got a talent or something, please, please, we want to get to know each other. We want to serve each other. We want to bless each other. There's something that God has given to you that I need, and I'll never get it if you don't show up. Turn to your neighbor and say, show up. Turn to your neighbor and say, show out.